I'm just going to talk to you tonight. You know, on Wednesday night, I like to just talk to you about things that will help you spiritually and in the natural. And I want to talk about regaining momentum. Even we do it naturally and spiritually. Sometimes we just sort of run out of our momentum. You know, when you ever hear them, if you listen to them on the football game or a basketball game, somebody be way ahead, and then the other team seems to make a big play or something, and you'll hear the commentator say, the momentum has shifted. Yeah. You know, that's often the key to whether you win or lose. I mean, I've played sports, and if you're in a game and y'all got the momentum and all of a sudden you lose that momentum, 90% of the time you're going to lose. It's hard to get it back. But that's why I always played and told my buddy on my team, I'd say, we'd be ahead at halftime, and I'd say, hey, we got to go out there and play like we're behind. I said, don't look at the scoreboard, play like you're behind. That keeps you going. You know, in life, it's the same way. Spiritually, it's the same way. We can lose our momentum. You know, how many of you remember the excitement of when you first got saved, when you first got the Holy Spirit, when you first found out about God's promises that you didn't know anything about? Remember how excited you were? And, you know, and man, you devoured the Word of God. And every time a door was open, you were enthusiastically in church. You got involved. You know, and we've seen amazing things happen. And you got victory when it looks like it was going to be defeat. You received help from God when you needed it. You know, but as you go and live life, sometimes things happen. Somebody says something that hurts you. And as the saying goes, took the wind out of your sails. How many know what I'm talking about? How many of you don't know what I'm talking about? The Bible said, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. I'm kidding. But you know what? Actually, you can take the Bible and prove anything. If you take it out of context, it says Judas went and hanged himself, and then there's another place that says, go by and do likewise. I'm quoting the Bible. That's what some people do. They take it out of context. But then somebody offended you, and attacks begin to come on to you, you know, and you got exhausted. Your energy was gone, and you didn't feel like doing nothing anymore. You can do that in spiritually, and you can do that naturally. Anybody ever realize that? Anybody ever come to that spiritually as well as naturally? I know you have naturally. You know, it says in Mark 4:14, the New Living, the farmer planted the seed by taking God's word to the others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come and take it away. And you see, this is what happens to us. We hear the word and we're all excited and so forth, but then things begin to happen that distracts us and gets us off of doing what the Word of God says. We get disappointed in something. I don't know how many people I've talked to through the years, they got disappointed in something and they said, oh, well, I'm still saved, but I'm just going to come sit on a pew. I'm not going to do nothing. And they didn't do anything, and they didn't study, and they didn't read the word, and it wasn't very long until they were sick. And then all of a sudden they come, and, well, our finances are gone. Everybody in the family is sick, and so forth and so on. I said, yeah, that's because you just quit. You quit spiritually. You know, did you know you can quit spiritually and still be saved, go to heaven? And everybody I've ever seen that's done that, they always end up with all kinds of sickness in the family and financial trouble and so forth and so on. Because, see, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. And if he can get you to lose your momentum to fight the good fight of faith, see, that's what Paul called it, good fight of faith. See, that's how you keep your momentum. The enemy will do things directly to get you, steal your momentum. He will indirectly attack you through other situations. I've had many, many attacks, both directly and indirectly. And somebody said, well, don't it bother you? I said, no, because I'm doing what God said to do, and I don't care what they say. I'm going to keep on going. You see, but what the devil wants to do, he wants to get you to the point that you just sit down and do nothing. Then he can really take advantage of you. You know, I've seen some people that they live their life playing dodgeball. What do you mean by that? I mean, they're just trying to dodge everything, you know. They're trying not to have any problems. They're trying to avoid problems. Did you know you can't avoid problems? Jesus even said it. He said, in this world, you're going to have troubles and trials. But there, that last verse in John, but I have overcome the world. See, that's where you got to keep your momentum up in what God said. You know, the devil likes to keep you so busy with the problems of life and all the things that come at you that you lose your focus on what the Word of God says. You lose your focus on where you're supposed to be, where you're supposed to go. You know, we need to realize and wake up to the fact that the devil wants to stop our momentum and our progress forward with him, with God. Now, let's recognize some signs when you're losing or have lost your momentum. There's a number of different signs, but I'm just going to use a few here. When we are bombarded repeatedly with doubts and confusion, we will start losing our focus on the Word, and we'll start losing our momentum to move forward in the things of God. Our level of confidence goes down. Now, you see, all of this is in the Word. See, over there in Hebrews, it says, don't throw away your confidence. Come on now. You ever seen somebody and say, man, they got all the potential in the world, but they don't have any confidence? They don't have the confidence they can do it? You know? You know, Cameron drives that race car, and he was learning to drive a thing and everything, and one of the older race guys, he said, Cameron has everything it does to take to win, but he don't have the confidence yet. He don't believe he can do it. See, you got to do in the world, in what you work in and what you're doing, you got to believe you can. You got to do the same thing. You got to take the Word of God and have confidence that you can do and receive what the Word of God says you can receive. You got to believe it when you can't see it. Now, another way that you can tell if you're losing your momentum is you're overwhelmed with things and procrastinate. I'll read tomorrow. I'll read the Word tomorrow. And tomorrow comes. I'll catch up on the weekend. Come on now. Am I speaking to anybody? You see, you'll start losing your momentum to move with God. You know, you put off making decisions about things. You're slow to do things. Another thing is that you substitute other things for using your faith in God. You look for a new program or a new method. I think that's what some of these pastors are doing. Instead of looking to God and getting a vision from God, they're looking at to find new programs. Well, thank God for programs. We got them around here. But that's not what we follow. We follow God and His will. Come on now. You know, you start going and asking other people, what do you think? Rather than going to the Word of God. My dad was famous for saying, don't go ask somebody what they think. Go to what's the Word of God say? What's the Word of God say? Now, I don't mean that you don't, sometimes that people need some professional help. I don't mean you don't do that. But you understand what I'm saying? And then there's another thing that causes people to lose momentum. And I talked about it a little bit while ago. They become satisfied with where they are and they're complacent. And they got a good life. God's blessed them. They got a good life. And so they're dissatisfied. This is it. Well, you know what? That's not all that God has for you. You know, I could have been satisfied a long time ago, but I tell people all the time, I am dissatisfied with satisfaction. What do I mean by that? I mean, I'm dissatisfied with satisfaction because there's more out there. You know, so, and I don't mean this wrongly, but I've been in this all my life. And then I've been doing it myself 61 years. And I've seen ministers that they build up a good congregation. They got a good salary. They got a good amount of people coming. And they're just coasting. They're just coasting. They're not adding to the church. They're just coasting along, complacent. God does not want us to become complacent. You should continually be moving on with God. And you shouldn't become complacent in your job. You should continue to learn, continue to move on. You know, some people say, well, how do you do what you do? Because I haven't become complacent and I continue to learn. Some of you are in my class, and I tell people all the time, learn something every day. Anybody heard me say that in class? Even if it's not what not to do. See, you should be able to learn something every day. I'm looking for ideas for sermons every day. I get them from songs. I get them off of reading marquees. One sermon I got that I preached, and I've preached it hundreds of times. I got two or three different, four different outlines on that same sermon. Where do we go from here? I preach that at church anniversaries because people have got complacent and everything. I said, I preach it at church dedications. Where do we go from here? Because that's a great time for the whole church to say, whoa, we did it. We did it. Praise the Lord. No. You can't become complacent. You got to, what's the next move? Come on. Anybody getting anything? Now, I told you that I want you to use this on both natural life and spiritual life. And it's the same thing can happen to you. You know, now, let's look at David. He is a spiritual giant in Israel. And he was the hero of Israel. I mean, he killed Goliath, the big giant, and then he had so many battles with the Philistines and killed so many Philistines that they would sing, according to 1 Samuel 18:7, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. That's one of the things that made Saul so angry Then he began to chase David. You know, David had racked up a lot of victories. And him and his mighty men, it looked like they were invincible and unbeatable. And he had built up a lot of momentum winning over his enemies. But now let's look at a particular time in David's life in 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21, I'm going to read from the New Living. 2 Samuel 21. Once again, the Philistines were at war with Israel. And when David and his men were in the thick of the battle, David became weak and exhausted. I can't pronounce that guy's name, so he was a descendant of the giants. You pronounce it. Anybody want to pronounce it for me? His bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds. He was armed with a new sword. He had cornered David and was about to kill him when Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to rescue and kill the Philistines. After that, David's men declared, "You're not going out to battle again. Why should we risk snuffing out the life of Israel?" In the thick of the battle, he became weak and exhausted. New King James says he grew faint. The Amplified says he became weary. He had been involved in so much stuff, persecution. King Saul had been after him, the battle with the Philistines. And David had been attacked in all sides. And so now he's in the middle of the battle and he becomes exhausted. Weary, vulnerable to the enemy. Someone said when fatigue comes in, faith goes out the window. I don't know. But here in 16:17, it tells you that one of his men came and fought against the giant that had attacked David and rescued David. Now, maybe here was a guy that had killed Goliath, but now he's in trouble with this giant. Maybe he's like some of us. We won several battles, but now we're trying to win it by ourselves. You know, sometimes we get weak and weary and exhausted in the battle of life. Our spiritual progress slows down. We lose our momentum. Anybody identify with me? Yeah. We've been going from victory to victory, but all of a sudden we're overwhelmed. We grow weary. All of us goes through these times when it seems like the very spiritual life has been sucked out of us. And we go through the same thing in the natural. But if you listen, we can regain our momentum. You know, no matter how spiritual you are, you'll find yourself in a... Wow. Man, somebody got a microphone somewhere. Or they unplugged a guitar or something. Whatever. You know, no matter how spiritual you are, you'll find yourself you're having to deal with stuff. Billy Graham said, "The Christian life is not a constant high. I have my moments of deep discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, 'Oh God, help me.'" This, you know, we can regain our momentum. After you lose your momentum. But you got some people that never re-engage. I've been playing with a sports team. I say, "Hey, listen, guys, they've gone back ahead of us. They've got the momentum. Let's go. We have to, in the athletic world, this is we got to suck it up and get out there. Any of you play athlete? Any of you play in athlete? Have you ever heard that term before? Yep. That means, hey, forget about everything and get out there and go. You know, what do you do if you have a breakdown? Say your car breaks down and you're on a trip. Well, you fix it, right? You continue on a trip. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. When I was just got out of the ninth grade, Dad had picked us up, that 53 Oldsmobile, pulling that house trailer. We were going to California, and we were there all summer and all during school and all during the next summer before we ever came back to Texas. We preached all over that state. Well, that 53 Oldsmobile, the balance pulley that is hooked to the end of the crankshaft, and the guys know what I'm talking about, it kept breaking. We'd had it fixed three or four times. And we're out in the middle of the desert out there on the highway. Now this, you're talking about 54. So it wasn't super highways. And it went out in this little old town, and about all that was there, some gas stations and some few other little buildings. And we stopped right by this garage. And so that car been driving. We've been driving for hours, but I got up underneath there and got the wrench and a 9/16 socket, and I pulled that all out. And I looked, and I saw that bolt was about that long, but it's supposed to be that long, and it was about half of what it's supposed to be. And what they would do, they would go in there and they'd tap that part that was still in there out, and they put the same bolt back in. I said, Dad, there ain't nobody going to have a bolt. But I said, I guarantee you that garage you got, I'm going over. So I went over to that garage, and I showed them that, and I said, I need a 9/16 inch bolt that's this long with this kind of thread on it. And so the guy, he got over and started digging around in a box, and he found one. I took it back out there. I put that pulley up there, and I cranked that thing down, put the belts back on. Of course, I had to take loose the generator belt, and because then we had generators, not alternators. The generator belt and then the air conditioning belt, and I had to loosen them up and then put it on. I got them all tight and put back together. And so I've been working on cars all my life. And so we got in, and you know what? That never broke again. I don't know what the deal was, but it never broke again. But you see, we had to fix that thing and go on, complete our trip, because there wasn't no Oldsmobile dealership anywhere within hundreds of miles of us. So it's got to be fixed, because we're stranded in the middle of out there on old Highway 66 in the middle of the desert. Any of you ever driven out through there, out there through Barstow and all that area? It's pretty deserty out there. But we fixed it and we went on. You see, that's what you got to do in life and in your spiritual journey, is when there's a breakdown and you lose momentum, you got to go through a process to regain it, fix it. Now, I'm going to give you some steps that'll help you. I don't know, there may be more. I don't know. Probably are. This is just me talking, okay? Step number one, repair. That's what I had to do to that car. I repaired it. Take time to fix whatever's wrong. If you got to forgive somebody, forgive them. If you got to change your attitude, change it. You got to change the way you're thinking. You got to change your confession, whatever. Too often, believers, they don't fix what's wrong. When Christians break down and need repairs, they sometimes go away from the place that can help them. They quit coming to church. To repair, you got to let go of offenses and hurts. So what? Somebody hurt you. Get over it and let's go. Somebody said, well, you don't know what. Hey, the Bible says, let it go. My wife, she'll tell you that I don't let anything bother me. Don't make no difference. I don't care what somebody says. That's their problem, not mine. Now, when I was younger, I might feed them a knuckle sandwich. Sometimes, but I'm sorry. But some of you guys know what I'm talking about. When you get older, you get a little more sense. Sometimes when Christians get in and stuff is breaking down, they act like there's nothing wrong. Well, the man that a lot of you sitting in this congregation right now call Dad, my father, Kenneth E. Hagin, he said believers try to act like nothing's wrong, and instead of asking for help, they think that it'll be a mark against their faith if they ask anybody for help or show that they're in trouble. That's crazy. Paul said the children of Israel, why am I for example, were examples to us. What did they do when they were in trouble and needed repair? They went to Jehovah. They went to God, and he helped them out, right? See, sometimes I can't let anybody know that I'm sick. Well, I heard you coughing and wheezing and sneezing and blowing your nose. You don't have to tell me. I know it. You know, you say, hey, can I pray for you? You know, I say, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Praise the Lord. I'm fine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, it doesn't. Sometimes when you get under pressure, you need somebody to help you. That's one of the things about being in a good church. You got people that will help you. We help one another. We need. Secondly, refuel. How do you refuel? Well, in the word, prayer, listening to coming to church, but fellowship with your fellow Christians helps you, gives you strength. You may not realize it, but it does. That's why he said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Have you ever been really down and you come together with a group of believers and you hadn't been there very long? I'm not talking about a church. You just get there with a group of believers and they're talking and so forth. All of a sudden, you begin to feel uplifted. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why? Because you're drawing spiritual strength from them. We draw strength from one another. In the athletic world, they tell you if you want to be good, get around people that are better than you. Learn from them. Okay, refuel. Refuel on the promises of God. Oh, I've read them before. Go read them again. And then restart. What am I talking about here? Start confessing the word daily. That's the first thing that most people, when they get in trouble, they let go of their confession. Man, I double up on my confession. when things start coming in and going down. Spending more time in prayer. You know, sometimes you start praying, you don't feel no unction, you don't feel nothing. You just keep praying. You keep on confessing, you keep on praying, and pretty soon the feeling will come. My dad, any of y'all ever heard my dad preach in person or on tape or CD? You probably hear him say, I started praying. I didn't have no unction at all, but I just kept praying. And then he'd say, you know, he'd pray for, and then he said, then he called it hitting a gusher. Anybody ever heard him say that? I heard him say it many, many times. You just, and the old people, they throwed it out, but that's what they meant when they said, pray through. Pray through till you hit, you know, because you start out, you don't feel nothing, but you start praying in the Spirit. How many of you have ever started praying in the Spirit and you didn't feel nothing at all, but you just kept praying? It wasn't very long until, see, that's what you do. That's what you do to regain your momentum. You use these same principles when you're in the natural that I'm talking about. See, you gotta, whether you feel like it or not, you gotta keep confessing. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Even when they're telling you can't do it, even in the natural, they tell me I can't do it. I say, I'll show you. My coaches knew me well enough. They would challenge me every game. They'd tell me I couldn't do this or I couldn't do something else. And I just sit there seething. I said, wait till I get on that field, I'll show you. That's the way you got to be with your spiritual law. Well, I'm the same way with the spiritual thing. Devil say, can't be done. I said, I'll show you. Come on now. You know how many times I've been told that we couldn't do what we've done? But we got 250 schools all over the world. They said, oh, nobody ever had a Bible school like that. That ain't going to go. You ain't going to make it. It won't go. Come on now. Because when we started now, everybody started Bible school. When we started Rhema, there had Bible schools from in the denomination, but there was nothing like we started here. I was told it couldn't be done. I just turn around and say, hide and watch. And look where we are today. Amen. See, you can't let something steal your momentum. Come on. You know, some of you may be here tonight and you may have lost momentum in life in the natural. You may have lost momentum spiritually. Well, if you just apply these rules that I was talking about right here, you'll regain it. It's not up to God whether you regain your most spiritual momentum. It's up to you, what you do. It's all right here in the Word. Now, I realize this has sort of been a little different tonight, but has anybody got anything out of this tonight? Have I helped anybody tonight? Let's all stand up and praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. As we listen to the Word, I thank you that all of us will take heart and we will not lose our spiritual momentum, but we'll pick it up and we'll pick up momentum. Rather than losing momentum, we'll pick it up as we pray and as we follow you. Not in the natural we're going to pick up our life, but in the spiritual we're going to pick up our life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever notice going down a hill? I was going down a hill somewhere here the other day and I told Annette, I said, I'm doing 60 miles an hour and I don't even have my foot's not even close to the accelerator. It was just that when I was at the top of the hill, I was doing about 35 or 40 and man, I'm, By the time I got to the bottom of that hill, if I hadn't put the brake on, I'd have been going 80 or better, because it was that kind of a grade. See, that's what we need to do in our life and in the spiritual. We need to gain momentum every day. Gain momentum every day in our life and become everything that we can. God wants us to be successful in the spirit and in the natural. When he moved Abraham, he blessed him. And he said, and we are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. It says, so go read it, Galatians 3. Go read the third chapter of Galatians. We're the spiritual. And he said that the blessing of Abraham come on us. And I'll tell you what, that blessing just wasn't spiritual. That blessing was natural too. You need to start claiming that. See, some people, they've never claimed that part. They've claimed the other part of the blessing. They've never claimed that part. The blessing was threefold. It was spiritual, redeemed. There's a book out there written by a fellow by my same name, except middle initials different. And he said it's redeemed from the curse. Poverty, sickness, and death. Death there is not talking about natural life. It's talking about spiritual death through Jesus Christ. That the blessing of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ. That's what it said. That's that part. The other part is natural. Come on now. I want to inspire you to have momentum to take your life naturally and go forward. I want to inspire you to take your spiritual life and be all you can be. The army used to have a slogan, be all you can be. We need to be all we can be according to what the Word of God says. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you can before you leave here tonight, and you can get in on what I'm talking about. Or you know what it is, but you need to serve God, but you're just not where you're supposed to be, and you need to rededicate your life. As we're dismissed, if you'll come here to the front where these people are, the men here, the ladies here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you want the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to agree with you for a job, whatever, they're here to pray with you. Amen. Connection team, go find those first-time guests. I want you to go with these connection people to a place that we got where we'll give you a gift. We're so glad you chose to be with us tonight. If you're looking for a church home, what we say, church, welcome home. Just come on and join our family. We have a great time serving God around here spiritually and naturally, unlimited. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, if you need prayer for salvation, for rededication, for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now as we're dismissed. Sunday morning right here at 10 o'clock. Come be here. We're going to have a great time. Amen. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to lose my momentum. I'm going to gain momentum.